Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to 1 John 4. In verse 17, the Word of God says, "Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as He is, so are we in this present world." Herein is our love made perfect. The word "herein" refers to verse 16, in this. In verse 16 it says, "And we have known and believed the love that God has toward us. God is love, and he that dwells in love dwells in God and God in him." In that, in other words, in the fact that God dwells in you and you dwell in God, in that reality, your love is made perfect. The word "perfect" there is teleotai, and it's a perfect passive indicative. This is not something that you can produce. This is something that is produced for you by the fact that Christ dwells in you and you are in Christ. That has an outcome. The outcome is the perfection of your love. And it does mean that it is perfect, it's made perfect, complete, to bring to the end the goal proposed. The fact that Christ dwells in you has a predetermined outcome. God doesn't dwell in you just because he needs a house. God dwells in you with purpose, and he has a goal that he does achieve inside of you as he is dwelling in you and you dwell in him. Please never think that has anything to do with how things feel. "Well, I don't feel like I'm growing. I don't feel like God is doing anything. I don't feel like he's living inside of me." Do you feel your blood? Why do you think you would feel God? As a matter of fact, you can sense God much more clearly than you can sense your own blood sometimes. But if you can't sense your own blood, and I take it you believe you have some, then don't worry about it if it doesn't feel like it. Your blood is flowing, it's doing its thing, it's taking out the carbon dioxide and it's bringing the oxygen to the tissues and it's removing the waste products and delivering them to different places that deal with waste products. Do you feel any of it? Of course not. So don't worry about whether you feel like God is doing anything in you. It's not relevant whether you feel it or not. 99.999999% of the time, you won't feel it. Why? That's by design. Just believe what God says. It's simple as that. The fact that Christ is dwelling in you has an outcome. He has purposed that outcome, and he achieves it. That is the word "hina." It means in order that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. So the outcome is brought such that you will have boldness in the day of judgment. Boldness is the word perhisian, and it's free and fearless confidence, freedom in speech without ambiguity or circumlocution. In other words, you can be blunt in the day of judgment. What is the day of judgment? Judgment there means separation. Now, this is not simply judgment in terms of who is saved and who is lost, nor is it simply judgment like the Bema Seat. It is any kind of a situation where you separate unto God. That judgment may be a trial. The judgment may be atmospheric warfare, kingdoms in conflict over you. The judgment may be anything whereby you separate unto God. Therein is the judgment. So in the judgment, whatever sort of judgment it may be, you're bold. People come against you, you're bold. Circumstances are difficult, you're bold. You're standing at the Bema Seat, you're bold. You're witnessing to somebody on the street, you're bold. Why? Because love has been perfected in you, and that was the goal of Jesus indwelling you. And he achieves it. So that when anything happens, you will be bold, free and fearless in your confidence. Because as he is, so are we in this present world. As he is, so are we in this present world. Are you as Christ is in this present world? Yeah, the Bible says you are. But what do you say? Be honest. Don't say it to other people. Answer in your own heart. Are you as Christ is in this present world? And people will be thinking to themselves, well, not really. I don't love like he loves. I don't have the patience that he has. I'm not kind like he's kind. I don't endure like he endures. I don't think like he thinks. I'm not as confident as God is. And all these different things come to mind. I'd say, no, I'm not as he is in this present world. Well, the Bible says you are. Well, maybe I'm intended to be, and maybe that's where I'll grow into, and maybe that's where God's bringing me. But I know what I'm like. And I'm not as he is in this present world. I know what I'm like when there's a slow driver in the fast lane. And I'm not as he is in this present world. The Bible says you are. So maybe our understanding needs a little adjusting. As he is, so are we in this present world. How does that work? In Genesis 1:26, the Word of God says that God made mankind. Now, for those who are sensitive, I do mean men and women. I think the word people kind is just weird. God made mankind in his image. God made us in his image, after his likeness. Now, after his likeness and in his image means two things. We do have his physical appearance. That's one of them. What did Jesus look like? He looked like a man. Who was he? He was God. You see, man didn't come first. God did. It's not that Jesus came in the image of a man. It's just that man was created in the image of God. And so let's get that one straight. We look the way we do because that's how God, the Son, in other words, that manifestation of God that has a body, that's the way he looks. We look like him. However, it also means to have his nature. And his character. So God made mankind to have his nature and to have his character. That was lost. Genesis chapter 3. The character was lost. The nature was lost. The image remained. We still look like him, but we no longer have his nature and character. The entire process of our lives in Romans 8:29 is to bring us back into his nature and character. Everything that takes place in our lives does work together for good, but there's a specific good that it's talking about. Verse 29 always follows verse 28 in Romans chapter 8. So albeit yes, all things do work together for good. Why? Because we've been predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. That's the good. That we are conformed to the image of his Son. One of the things we have to realize is why God made us. There's a lot of things that will not be properly understood when we don't understand our fundamental purpose as human beings. God made us with profound purpose and with a reason. Now, we've talked on a number of occasions what a part of that reason is. We've talked on a number of occasions that God, in 1 John 4:8, is love. And in 1 Corinthians 13:4, love is first patient and kind. And that in Revelation 4:11, all things were created for His good pleasure. And in Ezekiel 33:11, His pleasure is that the wicked turn from their wicked ways and live, rather than that they should perish. We have been created to be the recipients of the love of God, because love as it is defined in the Bible must have expression. If God's love had no expression, then it would be an attitude, but it would never be an activity. In other words, it would never have the fullness of what love must be in order to be love. And so we understand that God allowed the things that He allowed, because in allowing free volition to take place in the garden, the righteous God would allow sin to enter into the world without Himself having to compromise His holiness. He created us with that free will, and in His holiness, He allowed us to exercise it. We chose to yield to the temptations that the devil brought in the garden, and we fell, and we are now imperfect men. Imperfect men was exactly what God needed in order to have expression for patience and kindness. And so we understand that that is a significant portion of our purpose, but there is more. That is the purpose usward. But there was also a purpose Godward. And that is something that we must understand if we are to understand why it is that as He is, so are we in this present world. In Ephesians 5:23 and 24, the Word of God says, "The husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, wives are to be subject to their own husbands in everything." Marriage is a picture of Christ and His church. Now, when we say Christ and His church, we're not talking about Christ and an institution. Every born-again believer makes up the church, even if they are carnal, even if they never go to church in their life. If they are born again, they make up the church. What this is saying is that marriage is the picture of the relationship that God has with us. In Genesis 2:18, God said that it's not good that the man should be alone. It's not good that the man should be alone. Man had companions, but he needed somebody like him. And so God created the woman out of the rib of the man, such that man would have someone who is like him. When God created us in the eternal realm, not in the temporal realm. In other words, when Christ saved our soul, He created for Himself a bride. And He did it when His rib was pierced, that area, and blood was shed. Just like with Adam. God pierced the area of the ribs. Blood did come out, because blood always comes out when you pierce there or anywhere. And the woman was made. Jesus was pierced, and a bride was made. Now, God said it's not good for the man to be alone. In eternity, before man, God was alone. He had the angels, but he was alone. And the reason was, albeit there were companions, there was no one like him. He was unique. And in the same way that he said it's not good for man to be alone, God wanted someone like himself. Well, there is only one God. So who's going to be like him? And that's the beauty of redemption. That's the beauty of God's plan. It's not merely that God could express the love that he had. Yes, absolutely, that is a huge part of it. But it's so that somebody could be like him. The Word of God says in Romans 8:29 that the Spirit of God dwells in us. The Spirit of God dwells in us. In 1 John 15:26, it's the Spirit that Christ possessed. It was His Spirit that came into us. And in John 16:13, His Spirit guides us in all truth. That was the very same Spirit that lived inside of Jesus, that descended upon Him like a dove. And that was the very same Spirit that guided Him in all truth. That Spirit lives in us. Christ's Spirit. When God made us the body of Christ, in 1 Corinthians 12:27, He made us to be one with Him. In Ephesians 2:15 and 16, this is how it works. At the cross, we became one new man with our Savior. That one new man in Revelation 1:5 was cleansed by the blood of Christ. All of our sins were removed from us. Because we were one new man with Him, sin, every sin ever committed was on His body. We were that body. Do not think of this in metaphysical terms. This is not a metaphysical reality. This is a practical reality. The reason why sometimes people have trouble with this is because of the way they see time. They see it as a universal constant that is not variable, that is the same everywhere. It's just something that happens, a phenomenon that takes place. But Einstein showed us that that is not correct. Creation relativity, and if you don't know what I'm talking about, get the book from Amazon. It only costs 99 cents. Creation relativity shows us that time is a universal variable. And that all points of time, according to Einstein, exist simultaneously. There is no difference between the past, present, and future. They all exist now. Christ hanging on the cross is now. You cannot understand that if you see time as a universal constant. It's not a universal constant. It's not anything like we think it is. Time is a place. In that place, Christ is crucified. In that place, we live. In that place, our lives are carried out. In that place, we were crucified with Him. In that place, we're the body of Christ. On the cross, as the blood is being shed over it. that blood removes all sin from time. That's Psalm 103:12. Anytime you think geography, when it says as far as the east is from the west, that is a geographic reference. So far has He removed our sins from us. Anytime you think space, geography, you're talking about time. Einstein showed us that. And so what he's saying is the blood removed our sin from time. In Revelation 13:8, that blood is part of the structural foundation upon which all of creation was built. The activity of the blood is initiated when sin takes place. That's why in Hebrews 8:12, God does not remember our sins. We have no sin thereby. And the Word of God tells us that. He that is born of God sins not. We have no sin. Does that mean we're not sinners? Oh, we're sinners. But we have no sin. It's not that sin cannot be imputed to us. It's that it doesn't exist as a result of the blood. We became the new creation when we became the one new man. In that, in the fact that our righteousness is the righteousness of God, we are like Him. There is no other being ever created that is said to be in Christ and to have Christ in that being. No creature on earth, no creature in heaven, with the exception of the believer, is in Christ and has Christ in him. We have the Holy Spirit resident in us. We are His body. We have His mind. We are the expression of all that He is. That's why we are called living epistles. When God made us, He made for Himself someone to be like Him. Why? Because He didn't feel it was good for Him to be alone. The angels, as wonderful as they are, as grateful as we are for them, as much as God, I'm sure, loves them, they could never become like Him. And the reason is, because they are perfect. But no perfection can be the perfection of God. Only God's perfection can be that. Us not being perfect eliminates the requirement. How's that? Because we live by faith. Really think about it. What does it mean to be as God? Well, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. It doesn't mean that he acts a certain way. It means that he has a certain heart. Because that's who he is. Through faith, we have the same heart as God. When a man marries a woman, he is not marrying himself. It's not that they are the same person. It's that there is one like him, suited specifically for him. Under the circumstances for which God prescribed marriage, and that is that the wife is one with her husband, that she yields to him as the church yields to Christ in the same fashion that he loves her in the same fashion that Christ loves the church. In that is their union. But they are not the same person. But she is like him. When God created Eve, he didn't create another Adam. She is in her heart, in her mind, and in her body, not the same as him, but completely compatible to him. And so she is like him. God did not create a bunch of little copies of Jesus. God created those who could be his body, that is to say, who could be compatible with him. And so we have his mind, we have his spirit, and if you have a healthy marriage, the two people have the same spirit, not just the Holy Spirit, but there's a certain sense about them, a certain way of thinking, a certain way of being, a certain heart, the things that make up an individual's human spirit. They share that spirit. Well, we have the same spirit that Christ had, and we are utterly physically compatible because we are his body. This is one of the reasons why homosexuality is such a terrible mistake, such a terrible sin. And it's not that we hate homosexuals, but it's what it's doing to that institution which God designed to be a reflection of his love for us. You see, even in our bodies, we are compatible to him because we're his body. That's why Jesus said, the man shall cleave to his wife and then you'll become one flesh. We are one flesh with our Savior. And as God created one who is like him. But that one had to be imperfect. Because if that one was not imperfect, then none of this would work. He had to separate the holiness that a perfect angel or a perfect man would have, and with the angels that was not separable, and so it had to be with man. Man was created perfect, but in his perfection he couldn't be like God. Why was the promise given only after the fall? In Genesis 3:15, because only then was it possible. The just live by faith. The faith we have is righteousness. Holiness is no longer required when righteousness is in place. For angels, yes, holiness is required. Why? Because they can't live by faith. Faith must have that unseen component in Hebrews 11:1. And the angels see. But righteousness comes by faith, by that which is unseen, by the confidence and an assurance and a trust and a conviction regarding what cannot be seen. And so God took us from holiness to righteousness. And in righteousness, we can be like him. As he is, so are we in this present world. He didn't want to be unique in that sense. He didn't want to be alone. It wasn't good. Just like with Adam, it wasn't good. It wasn't full. It wasn't complete. It had lack of manifestation. And so God said, okay, I'm going to create from someone who is properly fit for Him. And we were created being properly fit for God. And now we have oneness with Him. We have a union. But it's not just a union. We have a likeness. And in that likeness, we find our place with Him. In Ephesians 2:6, He raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ. Of course He did. Of course He did. In John 15:18, the wicked one cannot touch us. How can the wicked one touch God? Do you know that being like Him, that means you have the authority over the wicked one? Satan can only lie to you, but he can't do anything with you. He just has to lie to get you to do it for him. The wicked one does not touch us. The wicked one cannot reach us. We're in Christ. In John 5:42, you have the love of God in you. It's not just that you have the Holy Spirit in you. You have the very essence and the nature of God in you. The nature that God possesses in 1 John 4:8 is the nature that is in us. We have the love of God in us. We're justified by faith in all things. Christ is just in all things. We are justified by faith. We are made to be just by faith in all things in Acts 13:39. We have His righteousness, His justification, His fullness, because we have been made to be like Him. We're His body. Of course we're like Him. We're His bride. It wasn't good that He should be alone. He desired expression. He desired fellowship. He desired oneness. He desired a companion suitable for Him. And He made us. As He is, so are we in this present world. It's not about your perfection. It's about your purpose. And by the very fact that He lives in you, your purpose is fulfilled. And it will come to fruition. It will be achieved. The goal that He has inside of you will be achieved. And that goal is to create a bride who is like the groom. You've been predestined for that. To be conformed to the image of Christ. Predestined not only in your position, but in your experience. To be like Him, suitable in all ways. To be like the one who gave Himself for you. Amen? If you don't know that you're going to heaven when you die, if you would like to go to heaven when you die, and know without any question in your mind, based in the Word of God, He gave it to you as a gift. So simply thank Him for that gift. Pray in your heart, Lord Jesus, thank You for Your mercy. Thank You for dying on the cross for me. I accept Your gift. I accept Your mercy. Save my soul and take me to heaven when I die. Amen.